Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam after his mission is unsuccessful, and not only doesn't Paro send the Jewish people out, but he makes things worse for them. And he comes with a complaint. Lama hari osa la'am hazeh, lama zeh shlachtani. Why did you do bad for these people? Why did you send me? May oz bossi el paro ledaber bishmecho heira la'am hazeh v'hatzeh lo itzalta samecho. From the time that you sent me to Paro, things got worse for these people and you didn't save them. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's soliloquy against God. The Medrash says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu said later on, Be'oz chatasi, I sinned with the word oz, and I'm going to correct with the word oz. I sinned with the word oz when I said, May oz basi el paro ledaber bishmecha, from the time that I came to Paro to speak in your name, things got worse. I sinned with the word oz, and I'm going to correct it with the word oz. Shenemar oz yashir Moshe.
You didn't say that.
Two questions. First of all, if you had to pick out a word in those two sentences that I told you, Lomahari Osalamazeh, why'd you do bad to these people? Why'd you send me? From the time that I came to Paro, things got worse. What word would you pick out from those two sentences that would personify, symbolize the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu?
Lam.
That's what I would pick up. First, what's the first word? Second of all, that's just the sin. Questioning God. Why? I surely would not pick out the first word of the second sentence, may oz, from them, and that's the sin, word that represents the sin. What?
You didn't even say oz the second time.
The second thing. We said two questions. That was the first question. The first question is, it doesn't seem like the word oz personifies the sin. So he didn't sin with the word oz. And secondly, how did he correct it with the word oz? Moshe didn't say the word oz. The Torah said that. That's the narration. Oz Yashir Moshe. Moshe started with Ashir al Hashem. So he didn't say the word oz altogether. How did he correct with the word oz? We'll leave that for a second. Go to another question. Back in last week's session. God comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says from the burning bush, the time has come to redeem the Jewish people and you are chosen to be the redeemer. Moshe Rabbeinu's response is, who am I and who are the Jewish people to be redeemed? And for 7 days he tries to get out of the job with all different kinds of complaints. I can't speak well, right? My brother is better to be the one. What else? I'm not fit. The people aren't ready yet to be redeemed. Okay. On the surface, seems very nice. Moshe Rabbeinu is very humble. But if you think about it for a few seconds, it's not humility, it's chutzpah. I mean, God said, look, if I was God, and I told Moshe Rabbeinu, look, time has come to redeem the Jewish people, and of all the people in the world, you have been chosen by me. And Moshe says, I think you made a mistake. I don't think I'm the right one. I would tell him, what are you calling a chutzpah? I'm God. I told you that I know all the possibilities, and you are the one. What are you arguing with me? How in the world did Moshe have the chutzpah to argue? So I want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't argue with God. He didn't try to get out of the job. Says right before that, Vayomer Hineni, I'm here. Whatever you want from me, I'm ready to do it. And all of a sudden, he's not Hineni anymore. Who am I and what? What I want to say is the following. Moshe Rabbeinu never said he's not going. That's it. It's a understood thing. God says you go, you go. I'm not questioning that. But now that I'm going, I'd like to understand why I'm going. What is my mission? Why me? When the Jewish people accepted the Torah, so they said Nasa v'nishma. There was something very special about saying Nasa first. We'll do whatever you say. We don't have to hear it, understand it, accept it because we understand it first. No prerequisite, no preconditions. Whatever you say, we're willing to do. But many times people forget that after they said that, which was a tremendous thing, and they got a crown for it, there was a nishma. But now we'd like to hear and understand it. We're not making the understanding a precondition for doing. That's why the nas has to come first. But once you accept to do it, unquestioning, now there is a further thing. I want to understand why I'm doing it. I'm not understanding it in order to do it, but if I'm going to do it anyway, I'd like to understand what I'm doing. And the Meiri says, that is taka, how a Jew has to function. Says in Tehillim, Tuv tan vodas lamdeni, ki b'mitzvosecho he'emanti. Teach me understanding and reasons, because I believe in the mitzvahs. Meaning, I don't want you to teach me understanding and reasons in order that I should believe. That is possible. That's unfit. But once I believe already, I'm going to do it anyway. Then Rabban Shah, I'd like to do it and understand what I'm doing as much as I can. I'm not making the understanding a prerequisite, but there is an idea to understand. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu basically said, I'm going to go, no matter what. But now that I'm going, I'd really like to understand, why me? Why are they ready? And I'll prove to you that that's probably the way to learn this parasha, even though I didn't find anybody who says like this. But I have a tremendous proof to it. If Moshe Rabbeinu was actually trying to get out of this, then listen to the arguments that he said in the order that they're given. First he said, who am I? And how come the Jewish people are ready? I don't think they're ready. Okay. Now that means that he is saying, if the way you normally learn, I don't think I'm the one to go, and I don't think they're ready, so the whole thing is forget about. Next thing he says is, well, I'm going to come to them, and they're going to ask me, what's your name? What am I going to tell them? That seems like he's resigned himself already to go. Now he just wants to know the particulars. Next thing he says is, but I can't speak well. So, again, tries to get out of it. I'm not the one. I'm not a good spokesman. And then the last thing he says is, send the one that you normally send. Send my brother Aaron. And then God gets angry. Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to get out of it, he should have presented all the arguments he had to get out of it first. And when that didn't work, then he should have resigned himself and said, well, if I'm going already, what's your name? But not, who am I? Try to get out of it. That doesn't work. Okay, what's your name? Now, it tells him the name. Okay, now we're going back to try and get out of it again. Right? I can't speak. It's not in any order. All the arguments to get out of it should have been exhausted. And then he should have resigned himself to going and then ask the question, what's your name? That's if he really wanted to get out of it. But if it's as we said, that's not the question. He named me. I'm ready to do whatever you want. But now I'd like to understand the mission. Then it makes sense. These things were more important to understand. The fact that he can't speak, he understood that God can take care of that. That was a lesser of important thing. So therefore the order is basically according to the priority of understanding, not trying to get out and then resigning himself. Why did God get angry though? 7 days God didn't get angry. He only got angry when Moshe Rabbeinu said, why not send my brother? Because I can ask every question to understand my mission. Why me? Why are they ready? That's to understand my... I like to understand what I'm doing. I don't think I can speak well. Why'd you choose me? To understand my mission. I'd like to know what your name is that I'm supposed to tell them, meaning what, with what attribute are you redeeming them? Understand the mission. But I'd like to understand, why not Aaron? That's not having to do with me. That doesn't make my mission more understandable. That's a question Aaron should ask, not you. That's a question you only ask if you want somebody else to do it. That's possible. Every other question was legitimate because it was to understand his mission. But the question of why not somebody else, that doesn't help me to understand my mission. That's the question they should ask, not the question that you should ask. That's where God got angry. That question implies that you're not ready to do it. You want somebody else to do it. That's no good. You want to understand everything about your mission possible, ask whatever you want. I'm happy that you should understand. It shouldn't be a prerequisite to do it. But once you're going to do it anyway, better to understand. Based on that, let's go back to what we said before. What happens when a person has tzaras? Bad things happen to you. Right? You have suffering or whatever. What are you supposed to do? Stoically accept it and say, God, I have no questions on you. Right? I don't question. Right? Everything's for the good. And I'll just accept it stoically. Is that what you're supposed to do? Yes and no. From one standpoint, you're not supposed to have complaints against God. Why is God doing this to me? Right? I don't know if God knows what he's doing, and I don't deserve this. That kind of question's not. I accept it. I accept that God knows what he's doing. But you're not supposed to accept it stoically and that's it. You're supposed to ask, what, for what purpose is this happening to me? What can I learn from it? How can I use it in a positive way? I'm not questioning God, but I'm questioning how I should be able to make use of these stars. That's what Chazal say. Roe Adam Yisurim Boim Alova. Somebody sees that he is receiving suffering. Yifash Beish B'Maisov, Yimash Beish B'Maisov. He should investigate his deeds and try to find something he can correct, that the suffering speaks to him and gives him the incentive to do. Therefore, there's absolutely no sin for Moshe Rabbeinu to say lama hari osalam azeh. The word lama does not mean why intellectually. That's madua. Madua means ma dea. What's the idea? In other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu had said madua hari osalam azeh, what's the idea, God? Right? I would like intellectually to understand what you're doing over here. It doesn't make sense to me. That's wrong. That's not the kind of question to ask. That would have been the sin. Lama means lima. For what purpose? For what purpose did you do evil to these people? For what purpose did you send me? That I'd like to understand. I'm not questioning you, God. But I'd like to know, for my sake, now that I'm accepting it, what can I learn from it? What can I go tell the people that they should learn from it? Lima, for what purpose? So that's not the sin. That's why Chazal did not pick out that first sentence as a sin. It's not a sin. It's exactly how a person has to react to tzaras. I don't question God's right or his reasons, but I would like to understand, once I don't question his right or reasons to do what he's doing, I'd like to understand as much as I can what I can learn from it, what I can use it for. That's lama hariosa, lama zeshvachtoni. Moshe's sin started in the second sentence. He took a moment in time and he made a statement about it. From the moment that I went to Paro, things are bad. That's not the way to look at history or to look at events. You have to take them and put them into the perspective of eternity. What happened before it, what happened after it, what's going to happen till the end of time. Because if you only see a portion of something, you see it distorted. Always give the example, if you walk into the following scene without knowing the circumstances, you can distort the situation completely. Walk in, you see a person with a knife ready to cut off somebody's leg. So you assume that the person with the knife is a terrorist, and this poor victim is being terrorized. So you knock out the terrorist, drag the person to safety, and expect him to give you a tremendous thank you. The person looks up at you and he says, why did you burst into the operating room and knock out my doctor? He said, I have gangrene, and if he doesn't amputate my foot immediately, I'm going to die. Why did you knock out the doctor and drag me out of the operating room? So what you thought was a terrible thing was really a mercy. But you didn't know the whole story. The Chafetz Chaim says a beautiful, cute pshat. He says that if you don't see the whole picture, you can distort things terribly and get the wrong idea hashkafically about anything. And he gives the following example. The sentence that we say a few times a day, Shomer Hashem Eskolo Avov V'Eskol Rishoyim Yashmid. God protects all that he loves and he destroys all the wicked. Anything wrong with that sentence? Well, perfect. Right? God destroys the wicked and he protects the ones that he loves. Beautiful, pasuk, very fair, whatever. What happens if you never heard that sentence? And you walked into shul one day late. And you know what you hear? Eskolo Avov V'Eskolo Rishoyim Yashmid. All those that he loves and all those Rishoyim God's going to destroy. Hey, that's not fair. Why is God going to destroy the ones that he loves? So you get a very distorted view of God. Or you walk into shul and you leave early. And you know what you hear? Shomer Hashem Eskolo Avov V'Eskolo Rishoyim. God will protect all those that he loves and all the wicked. Hey, that's not fair. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we come late into this world and we leave early. So we don't see the whole picture. So we get a very distorted view sometimes. We see God giving the Rishoyim what they don't deserve or the Tzaddikim what they don't deserve. If you'd see the whole picture, there'd be no problem. But we don't see the whole picture. So therefore, you have to take moments events and put them into perspective of eternity. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I sinned with the word Oz. I took a moment and I froze it and I questioned God because of that moment that I saw. You know when he corrected it later on? When he saw another moment, the moment of the splitting of the Red Sea. He could have been happy with it for the moment, froze it in time again and say, wow, this is good because I see it good right now. But he didn't. The Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu took that moment, Oz, Yashir Til Tchias HaMeisim. He put it into the perspective of eternity. That's the correction. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw that moment at Kriyas Yamsuf, he didn't relate to it as a moment in a vacuum, but he related it as part of the ongoing, everlasting, universal history, and that was a correction of what he did before. Okay. Bottom line, though, there's nothing wrong with questioning and trying to understand everything that you can, as long as the questioning is not a prerequisite for doing or believing.